And now, Ben Bailey.
As you think about doctrine, the word doctrine comes from the word didache in the Greek, which simply means teaching. When we talk about doctrine, we're talking about a biblical word for teaching. That's simply what it means in the New Testament. So we're thinking about the teaching of Christ, things He has set forth in the New Testament for each and every one of us. Doctrine is important, and it's important that we look the right place for doctrine. How do Christians get their doctrine, and whose doctrine must we teach? In the New Testament, there are three avenues that one can see for finding doctrine. The first is the one that is approved by God, and that is the doctrine of Christ. 2 John 9, if anyone does not have the doctrine of Christ, he does not have God as his Father. There is the doctrine of God our Savior. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, that doctrine which saves and puts us in a relationship with God. And so there's the first source, the approved source, God and His Word. But then there is a second avenue or source for finding doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 mentions that there are doctrines of demons. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God received or created to be received with thanksgiving. There's doctrines that are demonic in their nature in that they emanate from the devil. He's the source of that, and it is his workers, his ministers of darkness, who are proclaiming those doctrines in an unstable world today. And then there's a third source, which is not approved by God, and that is doctrines of men. Revelation 2, verses 14 and 15, the Scripture says that certain ones in the church had held to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Do we know exactly what that was? Not in detail, but they had a doctrine, they were the source of it, and it was a doctrine that Jesus Himself condemned. In the time of Jesus, the Pharisees created their own doctrines, and they were really tradition, but they held these up just as important as the Word of God. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about this people, saying, 'They honor me with their lips, but their heart, their mind is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine, teaching as teaching from God, the commandments of men.'" Matthew chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus warned His disciples, "Beware of the doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees." Pharisees elevated tradition. Sadducees didn't believe there was a resurrection. So there may be various sources, but the only one approved by God is the doctrine of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what type of doctrine do we need today? We need sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, as Paul mentions a litany of sins which will separate one from God, he then says, "And if there is anything else which is contrary to sound doctrine." The Bible mentions this again in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. There are those who do not hold to sound doctrine. What's the idea behind sound doctrine? The Greek word, the root word from which sound comes from, is a medical term, which literally means healthy or healing. When we talk about sound doctrine and the type of doctrine we need a doctrine that is healthy, that is healing, and ultimately the doctrine of Christ is that because it heals man from the greatest disease ever, the sin problem. Romans 6:17, Paul said, "God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Yes, they got caught up in sin, but it was the doctrine of Christ, that sound, healthy doctrine that gave them hope from a life of sin. Well, where is it then that we get our doctrine? Where does Christian doctrine directly come from? It initially comes from God Himself. Open your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 7, and I want you to turn with me to verse 17. I want you to notice what Jesus said in this context. John chapter 7, verse 17. Jesus said, "If anyone wills or wants to do His will, do God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is of God or whether I speak on my own authority. And so Jesus said, if you want to please the Father, you've got to make sure your doctrine, your teaching, comes from God. Well, how is it that we can make sure we have the right doctrine from God? Friends, it's revealed to us right here in the pages of God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, listen, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We don't turn to books of men. We don't ask, what does the pastor say, or what do the elders, or what does the preacher say? We turn to God's book, the Bible, and this is how we can know our doctrine is from God. Romans 16:17 clearly teaches there's just one doctrine. Paul warned some in 1 Timothy 1 verse 3, I urged you when I'm in Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may urge some that they teach no other doctrine. Friend, you don't have to look very far to know that our world is a confused religious world with a multiplicity of various doctrines on every subject under the sun. God has one doctrine. There's one Lord, one faith, one body. All those things mentioned in Ephesians 4 and Romans 16:17 says we've got to mark those who teach doctrine contrary to the doctrine of Christ. And so it is important that we get our doctrine from God. Well, for just a minute, let's think about an elder's responsibility to doctrine. The Bible teaches that elders are to labor in doctrine. We're going to be looking at several passages in 1 and 2 Timothy, so I'd like to invite you to open to that series of books. If you would, begin by opening to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Elders have the responsibility and privilege of laboring or working with the doctrine of Christ. The Bible says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine or teaching. And so an elder has a responsibility of laboring, working in the word and teaching. We know that's a qualification, for 1 Timothy 3 says they need to be apt or able to teach. Turn over to Titus chapter 1 and notice another responsibility. You're not far from it. Turn to Titus chapter 1 and look at another responsibility elders have. Concerning doctrine, elders have the responsibility of keeping the flock pure by convincing and correcting with the doctrine of Christ. 1 Timothy or Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Elders are to be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, there's the idea of encouragement, and convict, there's the idea of pricking the heart of those who contradict. If they contradict sound doctrine, who is it that has the responsibility of going to them, encouraging, convicting? Shepherds and elders inside the body of Christ have that awesome responsibility. Well, the preacher also has responsibility as it relates to the doctrine of Christ. A good minister of Jesus Christ must carefully follow his doctrine. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And as Paul writes to the young evangelist Timothy, I want you to see what he says here about Timothy's need to follow the doctrine carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse 6. Paul says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith, and notice, and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. James 3 and verse 1 says, let not many become teachers, knowing you shall receive a stricter judgment. Preachers, gospel preachers, Bible class teachers, those who publicly and privately proclaim the message of God are going to have a more severe judgment, and thus they must carefully follow the doctrine of Christ. It's not about what I think, and it's not about what you think. We must teach the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Part of the minister's work is to devote himself to Christ's doctrine. In the same chapter, look in verse 13 at what Paul says here. Paul says to the young evangelist Timothy, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. He's got to give attention, devote himself, dedicate himself to studying and knowing and proclaiming the doctrine of Christ. But as you think about the preacher's relationship to the doctrine of Christ, here's one that we sure don't want to leave out. The gospel preacher must make sure that his life lines up with his doctrine. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul said, "Take heed to yourself and your doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing this you'll save both yourself and all those who hear you." How many times have we heard, even just recently, of a gospel preacher, sadly for the Lord's church, who got involved in something ungodly, something he shouldn't have got involved in? Friend, a gospel preacher's got to make sure that his life lines up with what he teaches. Paul said, "I buffet my body daily and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe verse 27. And so he's got to make sure his doctrine and his life line up, and he must only preach the sound doctrine of Christ. Titus 2 verse 1, Paul told Titus, another young evangelist, to make sure to preach the doctrine. He said we must give attention to those things. Well, there are also some warnings about false doctrine given in the New Testament. As one does a word study of the idea of doctrine, one of the things that will repeatedly occur with this word is a warning against false doctrine. Look in Matthew chapter 16 for an example. If you would, take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. As Christians, we've got to make sure that we don't teach or preach or practice any doctrine that is the teaching of men and elevate it above the Word of God. Matthew chapter 16, I want you to look at what Jesus warned the disciples of in verse 12. Jesus says, you'll notice in verse 6, Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the bread of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now, the disciples think he's upset because they didn't get bread. But look at what Jesus says in verse 12. Verse 12 is the explanation. "Then they understood he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Friends, we could do a great deal of good today, and people in the religious world would do a great deal of good if we'd stop listening and stop believing what others are saying and what we hear and what others say. And if we said to ourselves, we're going to go to the book and we're going to check and we're going to make sure that what we teach and what we believe is found right here in the Scripture. This would eliminate the creeds of men. This would eliminate confessions of faith. This would eliminate the old song that's been sung so long, "I'll go ask my pastor." It'd eliminate all those things if we just said to ourselves, we've got to go by the book and we've got to make sure that we don't elevate man's ideas. Another false doctrine we have to beware of is fables and endless genealogies and stories. 1 Timothy 1 verse 3, Paul again said to Timothy, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you charge some to teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies." They were had their fables, their heroic stories from the Maccabean periods of what John Hyrcanus and others had done, how the lamp kept burning, and all these stories. You may have heard those. Stories that have been passed down through history that they now elevated to place of doctrine. And they put so much faith in those. Or the endless genealogies, all their tracing of their lineage back to the priesthood, back to a certain family. And now, all that's been done away with anyway, Paul is saying. A very practical lesson for us is we need to make sure that we don't get caught up in stories and fables and tracing our family roots, but rather we put our trust in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Where did Cain's wife come from? Don't know, don't care. What color was she? I don't know, I don't care. Well, what did Jesus write in the ground? I'll ask him when I get to heaven, won't you? You see, those things, friends, don't really matter. Those are things that you could spend all day spinning your wheels on, and you'll never get anywhere with. We need to make sure that we're basing our teaching and our ideas on true substance as found in the New Testament. Well, we learn also of doctrine, false doctrine, that it is damning to one's soul. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5 teaches us that those who gave ear to false doctrine had their conscience seared with a hot iron. When they stopped listening to God and started listening to men, God's Word was no longer able to prick their heart until they listened to the Word of God again. And then Hebrews 13, verse 9, concerning false doctrine, tells us there are many and various strange doctrines. You don't have to, again, look far to know that. I picked up a book the other day, or didn't pick it up, but I saw online someone had written a book, 101 Ways to Contact Your Guardian Angel. And I thought, 101 ways? What kind of strange idea is that? The idea that I'm going to be reincarnated as a Brahma cow. That's pretty strange. You just think about all the strange ideas that exist today, and you say to yourself, God in the long ago was so right. There are many strange doctrines, and thus, I've got to make sure that I listen carefully to the doctrine and teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, tonight we also want to emphasize the importance of Christian doctrine. And here's the good news. You can know God's will tonight, and you can know beyond a shadow of the doubt, the doctrine of Christ. If anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. This book is the entirety of God's Word. It is the once for all faith delivered to the saints. Psalm 119:160, Jude 3. And the good news is this. The doctrine of Christ is that which frees me and frees you from sin. Would you turn to Romans 6 with me for just a moment? I mentioned this earlier to you, but I want you to see it for yourself. The importance of the doctrine of Christ cannot be overemphasized when we tie this in with the fact that it is Christ's doctrine that sets us free from sin. It is Christ's doctrine that sets us free from sin. Romans 6, I'd like you to look with me in verse 17. Paul said, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Someone says, "Give me Christ, but not His teaching." Friend, that's not possible. If you want Christ, His teaching is directly linked to Him, and it's directly linked to salvation. And thus, if it is the doctrine of Christ that sets me free, how I need to make sure that I'm studying it, that I'm living it, and that I'm telling others about the doctrine of Christ. Now, here's the seriousness of what we're talking about tonight. If I don't have the doctrine of Christ in my life, I don't even need to look up to heaven and call God my Father. 2 John 9 says, "If anyone transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, he does not have God." That's how serious it is tonight. If I'm not careful with the Scriptures, make sure that I study the book and that I live it in my life, friend, I have severed myself from a relationship with God as my Father. And we must not bid Godspeed to anyone who does not have correct teaching or doctrine in their life. Well, let's think for just a few moments about our responsibility to the doctrine of Christ. The New Testament teaches that each Christian has the responsibility to stand firm and to be steadfast in the doctrine of Christ. Acts 2:42 tells us of the early church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They put their faith and they stood firm on the doctrine and teaching of the apostles, which was that which the Holy Spirit inspired them, which is that which we today have in the Word of God. And so my responsibility is to stand on the doctrine. Christian doctrine is something to be worn, and it beautifies the Christian character. I want you to see this passage. Look in Titus 2:10. You know, when you think about things that beautify the body, you think of clothing, you think of a beautiful necklace, maybe a ring on the finger. You can look at someone who's sharply dressed and you say, "Wow, that just looks good. That stands out." Friends, Christian doctrine is what ought to beautify us. Look in Titus 2. I don't want you to miss this passage. Titus 2:10. The Bible says, "Christians are not to be pilfering, but showing all good fidelity or faithfulness." Now watch this. that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. What does it mean to adorn something? To put it on, to wear it. We're to clothe ourselves with Christ, Galatians 3:27. We're to be that shining light. We're to present the smell or the aroma of Christ to others, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. And I'm to beautify my life with the doctrine and the teaching of Jesus Christ. Like a beautiful necklace, like beautiful garments. It ought to shine out and stand out everywhere we go in our life. And thus, I must study and give attention to the doctrine of Christ. Till I come, Paul said, give attention to reading, to doctrine, and to exhortation. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And let's talk for just a minute tonight about some specific doctrines. What are some things the Bible mentions as specific doctrines of Christ tonight? Would you open your Bible to Mark chapter 1 and verse 27? When Jesus came on the scene, something amazing is said about His works and His teaching, and it is tied in to the doctrine of Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Jesus, in context, has just cast out an unclean spirit. He rebuked the spirit came out of the man, and notice what they said in verse 27. Then they were all amazed, so that they question among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? Now watch, here it is, with authority. He commands the unclean spirits, and even they obey Him. The idea here is that the doctrine of Jesus is His authority over all, even the forces of evil, even the demonic forces. Christ has all authority. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We are to submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus and obey Him. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. He is still today the head of the church, Ephesians 1, 21 through 23, and it is His word on the judgment day that will bring happiness and joy to our life if we've obeyed it, or condemnation and mourning to our life if we've not obeyed it. And so Christ's authority is part of His doctrine. Also, the doctrine of salvation only in the name of Jesus is part of Christ's doctrine. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, as they asked of the disciples, by what power, by what authority have you done this? Peter responded, there is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men except by Jesus. Friend, there's only one way. There's only one way to be saved. Jesus said, I am, listen to the specifics, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. There's only one way and there's only one path. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction, and many there are who go in by it. But narrow is the path and difficult is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there are who find it. Well, look at another doctrine with me. Would you turn to Acts chapter 17? Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 17. And when we speak about specific doctrines of Christ, one that is mentioned in Acts 17 is the resurrection. It is at the heart and core of Christianity. Look in Acts chapter 17. Notice what is said in verse 19. They took Paul aside, the philosophers and Stoics of the Areopagus, they took him aside and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? Well, what is that doctrine? Don't have to look far. Look in verses 30 and 31. The doctrine is this. Truly, these times of ignorance, these idolatrous and ungodly times, these times of ignorance, God once winked at or overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, in that He has appointed a day in which He'll judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And notice, He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. What's part of the doctrine of Christ? The judgment day proven by the resurrection of Jesus, that all men must now repent and get their life right. There's a day coming when we're going to stand before God and give an account. Well, Hebrews 6:2 mentions several others. Doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, repentance of dead works. Well, lists could go on, but this will just kind of give you an idea of some of the doctrines that we have. tonight, let's close by thinking about part of our responsibility in the doctrine of Christ. The Christian, a sign of spiritual maturity for the Christian is that he must not be wavering all the time in his doctrine. I'm not saying that we can't study issues and learn more and grow, but a sign of spiritual maturity is steadfastness in doctrine. Ephesians 4, verse 14, "Do not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine," Paul said. I need stability in the doctrine of Christ, and that's a sign that I'm studying the Bible, that I'm maturing, and that I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to open your Bible with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. There's another admonition that we need to hear tonight, and this is a very important one tonight. I want you to look in 1 Timothy 6 as it relates to doctrine. I need to realize that it's possible for me to blaspheme God and His Word by the way I live my life and by the way I teach. Look in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. The Bible teaches that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, from which some have pierced themselves, have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here they've pierced themselves through with sorrows because they're not living and acting like they ought to. They have profaned the name of God, and they've done things which are not right by their teaching and by their lifestyle. And then one final principle. We live in a time when sound doctrine is not popular, and you've got to realize there are a multitude of religious charlatans in the world today. You're not far from it. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to notice what Paul says about the many people in our world and in his world who did not want to hear sound doctrine. Let's read 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5 together. Paul says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Now watch this. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, they'll turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." My responsibility and one of the admonitions I receive as I study about the doctrine of Christ is to, number one, realize there are a lot of people out there who are not teaching the right doctrine. And secondly, I've got to do the work God has set before me and study His Word to make sure that I'm living according to the doctrine of Christ. And so in the upcoming weeks, we encourage you every time to get your Bible out, to follow along, and let's each make sure that as we study these issues, they are coming from the Bible so that we can know we're right with God. If you're here tonight and you're not sure whether you're right with God, maybe there are things in your life that are amiss, and you know they're amiss. Friend, God knows also, and you desperately need to make that right tonight. If you want to become a Christian, more than anything, we want to help you do that. We want you to know that God loves you, and that we love you, and we want to help you obey the gospel.